what does the Lord have planned for you in your life? You know, in the future, for the rest of your life, do you believe the Lord has a plan for you? Or, you know, is this something that we need to do on our own and take care of things the way we think they need to be taken care of? You know, we got to figure out all this ourselves. Or do we have faith in the Lord that He answers our prayers and that He directs our paths? And you know, as you go through life, there'll be good times, there'll be hard times. And sometimes it feels like the Lord's really not watching over you and taking care of you. And you don't know why, and you can go on for years and years and years with the same prayer, you know, with the same desires, and it doesn't seem like He ever answers them. But, you know, there is hope with the Lord. And Scripture tells us otherwise, that He's always out there, and He will direct our paths. You know, if we follow His word and we keep His commandments, we have faith in Him. And I wanted to talk about some of those requirements, some of the things we need to do for Him to take care of us and to bless us. So I want this to be a message of hope and a message of comfort. And it was really helpful for me to put this together and go through some of these verses. I wanted to talk about some of the thoughts of the Lord, thoughts that He has for you and about you. And what does the Lord think about me? Let's turn to Jeremiah 29, 1 through 14. In my Bible, the section's titled A Letter to the Captives. We know what happened to Israel and then what happened to Judah. How Babylon came in and they took them captive and carried them away to Babylon because they had disobeyed the Lord. So, you know, they would spend 70 years in Babylon thinking about how they disobeyed the Lord. And, you know, wondering, what's the Lord going to do for me? You know, I am sorry, Lord. I am repentant, you know, that we did not follow Your teaching and Your commandments. And the Lord kind of, you know, answered a prayer that some of them would have in their hearts. And it talks about that in here. Jeremiah 29, 1 through 14. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carry away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. It was a message from the Lord. It was a message from the prophet Jeremiah. After that, Jehoiakim the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa the son of Shephan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent into Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. And, you know, you think about how they were captives here, and the thought came to my mind, you know, how am I a captive in my life? You know, what in this world really weighs me down? You know, how do I spend my time? You know, how have I chained myself to the things of this world? You know, that really would drag a person down rather than having the freedom that the Lord would give us. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell on them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives of your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. So these are some of the things, you know, just of life. Some of the things you go through in life. You build a house, you get married, you have children. And it's part of God's plan. You know, in the Book of Mormon, it says that God wants us to have joy. And this is part of that. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. So it was a requirement that they needed to pray. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. And again, just like them, we have people telling us what we need to do. You know, deceiving us, telling us how we can be happy, and what's going to give us satisfaction in our life. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, and causing you to return to this place. So this would have been a positive message. This would have been a comforting message to these that were taken captive into Babylon. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, and this kind of answers the question, you know, what does the Lord think of me? If I'm doing the Lord's will, if I'm, you know, praying to the Lord, if I have that relationship with the Lord, you know, He wants to help you out. He's not going to have thoughts of evil. He wants to give you an expected end. And that would be, you know, according to His plan. He has a plan for you. He has an end. You know, how you're going to go through life, what it's going to look like. He has called you in a certain way to be, you know, the person that God wants you to be. You know, all the way up to the very end of your life. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. You know, God's going to listen. He's not going to turn His ear. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. In verse 13 there, it says, with all your heart. You know, when we pray to God, it needs to be genuine. It needs to be authentic. You know, it really needs to be with our very soul as we pray for these things, and we yearn for our prayings, yearn for something to happen in our life. And, you know, it talks about in Scripture, has the Spirit, you know, God knows our groanings, and the Spirit is a mediator for us to God the Father. You don't even really have to say anything. You just, you know, what do you feel in your heart? You know, God knows what you need, and He's aware of that. Isaiah 55, 6 through 13 was the next scripture I wanted to turn to. It says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. I remember when I decided to include this passage in the sermon, I remember it was a reunion or something I went to. One of the apostles talked about this. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You know, while you have the opportunity to call upon Him, do it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon you. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And if I could do things my way, if I wanted my life to go this way, down this path, you know, I've got my own path. I could write it all out right now. This is what I want you to do, Lord. I want you to do this way, do this way. You know, I think I know what's best for me in my life. That's the way we tend to be. But the Lord has a different path. He has thoughts that are greater than our thoughts. And it's hard for us because we don't know what that plan is. We don't know what that path looks like. But this really comes to, you know, humbling ourselves. We need to humble ourselves so that we, you know that God knows what's best. Not me, but God knows what's best. We have to trust that His thoughts are greater than our thoughts and our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may seed, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So sometimes when we try to do things our way, it doesn't always happen. You know, sometimes it's in vain because we cannot make it happen. Sometimes, you know, we try to do something and it won't turn out the way we think it, you know, should turn out, or it doesn't turn out very well because we, you know, we were impatient and we tried to do it our way. But when God does things his way, it happens. And that's what it's saying here in verses 10 through 11. It's not in vain. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. So instead of instead of the thorn, talks about the fir tree, good things are going to result, not bad things. When God does it his way, good things result. When we do things our way, that's not always the case. I wanted to talk about the things God will do. There's two scriptures that really mean a lot to me. And this one here, Isaiah 42:16, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. You know, we can't see what God's plan is for our life, but he has a plan that we don't know. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. You know, how great is it when you have a problem in your life and a trial, a tribulation, and you don't understand it. But I've seen times in my life when I've gone through times of trial that God has turned it around, and he has changed something that was really bad into something that was really good. And that's what it's talking about here. And crooked things stray. These things will I do unto them, and I will not forsake them. And this is a promise that we always need to remember. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Again, there's something that God's going to do. He's going to take the bad times, the hard times, the bad things that have happened in your life, and he can make good things from those. You know, we can't do that ourselves, but the Lord can. So, you know, what are the requirements? If we want the Lord to direct our paths, what do we need to do? And I've got a handful of requirements. Some of them we've already talked about a little bit. The first one's to pray. If we want the Lord's plan for our life, you know, to happen. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, it goes right along with those verses that we read in Isaiah. But you've got to pray to the Lord. You have to call on him. 3 Nephi 8:50-51, and it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter in temptation. And we don't pray to God, again, we start wandering off and we listen to what the world tells us will give us fulfillment in life. You know, we'll listen to the world and what it says our plan should be for our life. You should do it this way or this way. You should have this hobby or do this, and it will make you happy, rather than letting the Lord bring us joy in our life. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. So the requirements down here at the bottom. You know, you ask in the name of Jesus. It's something that's right. you know, it's something that you feel is right, that you're going to take to the Lord, that He, you know, will possibly agree with you and say, yeah, I agree. I agree with you. What you're asking for is right. You know, it's going to help me be a better Christian. It's going to help me be a better witness to people. It's going to help me reach out to others. It's going to help me raise my family. It's going to help me be a good wife or a good husband or take care of my children. These are the kind of things that Lord wants us to pray for. It doesn't mean you can't pray for money. You know, maybe you really fall short in your finances and you need some help. God, you know, could understand that and He could bless you. He has blessed people in the past. He blessed King Solomon. You know, he prayed for wisdom, great wisdom, and the Lord blessed him in other ways. Believing that ye shall receive. This is about faith. We need to believe that He will answer our prayer if it's right. Not just pray for it and wonder about it, but really believe deep down that the Lord cares about me. And I think this is a good prayer. I think I'm praying for what's right. And the Lord will hear that. He says it will be given unto you. So this is a promise. Moroni 7:8. And likewise also it's counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profit him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. So it needs to be with your heart, you know, the deep down yearning. Not just lip service to the Lord. And I guess I was thinking about, you know, what we pray for. And there's a show that Kelly and I watch, or have watched in the past. There's a show called Gold Rush. And they're looking for gold. And sometimes they'll get in a group and they'll pray. And they'll pray, Lord, give me all this gold. And I don't know if the Lord likes that. You know, I'll let the Lord look upon their hearts. You know, I don't know. But we need to be careful about what we pray for. You know, is it for me? Is it for a selfish desire? Or is it really something positive that can result from this? Another requirement, keep the commandments. Mosiah 1:55-56. And behold, all that He requires of you is to keep His commandments, and He hath promised you that if you would keep His commandments, ye shall prosper in the land, and He never doth vary from that which He has said. Therefore, if ye do keep His commandments, He doth bless you and prosper you. So this is another requirement. You need to keep His teachings, the teachings that we find in our scriptures. And if you do, it says you're going to prosper. And you'll be blessed. And, you know, He will be directing your life. You will be fulfilling the plan that God has for you, because He's going to answer your prayers. And it's going to be really neat how it all transpires if you follow the Lord. But if you aren't keeping His commandments, you know, is he going to answer you? Is He going to answer your prayer? There's other scriptures I could have put in here, but I didn't. But you need to keep His commandments. And that's when He blesses you and prospers you. I've already talked about this a little bit. Faith. Do you have faith? Hebrews 11:1-6. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And it talks about all these people that went before us, these people that had faith, and because they had faith, the Lord blessed them. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead yet he speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. God was pleased with Enoch and he was taken. Talks about that in the book of Genesis. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here is a real requirement. Just like these other people, you know, Abel had faith in God. He knew that there was this great God and that he answered to him, and that he needed to put forth the effort to offer this good sacrifice. If he did so, he would be blessed. God would approve of his sacrifice, or his offering that he would make. It talks about Enoch here. There's this whole list of people that it talks about. We know Abraham. We know about Noah. It talks about here. But verse 6, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So if you're not praying with faith, if you don't believe that God can answer your prayers, then he's not going to reward you. It says that right here. He's only going to reward those that diligently seek him. Believe that he is. Believe that he can answer your prayers. Just like back in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And we believe that. And it's obvious when you look outside and you look at the universe that there must be a creator. And it seems so plain to me. But when I think about, can God answer my prayer, it's not so plain. You know, there's doubt that comes into my mind. More so than my belief in a creator. Ether 5, 6 through 7, "And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after that he had risen from the dead." So there may be a trial that we have to go through, things we don't understand. But after those trials, God can give us a witness and he can answer our prayers. And I was thinking about Peter. You know, when Christ was taken by the Romans and he was going to get crucified, we know what happened to Peter. And he lost his faith in the Lord. You know, it can't happen this way. And we know about Thomas, who saw what happened to Christ, how he was crucified. You know, even though Christ had talked about being resurrected, he wasn't going to believe it. But then God showed it to them. So we need to be careful that when we go through trials, that we don't lose our faith and that we're willing to continue on and always believe and always know that it's all going to work out if we follow God. Love. I wanted to talk about love as another requirement. 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So he has prepared things for people that love him. You know, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We already talked about that. But he's going to prepare your path. He has plans for you, and he's going to help you out if you love the Lord. And if you really think about it, if you really go to the Lord and pray about it, if you have the faith that you should, if you love the Lord that you should, then you're going to have this comfort and this feeling in your heart that it's going to all work out. And the Spirit's going to testify to you of that. You just need to keep on praying about it. And it's hard. can be hard to have faith at times. But there's these promises that we're talking about here in Scripture, you know, are true. We have to really believe what we read here. Patience. 2 Nephi 5:21. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. You know, if you wait on the Lord, wait for him to answer your prayer, rather than, you know, not waiting for him and losing all hope and you know, denying God, I don't want to be a Christian anymore, he doesn't answer my prayers, then that's when you're going to be ashamed if you do that. But if you have patience, your prayers are going to be answered, and you won't have to be, you won't be ashamed when the Lord returns. Psalm 27, let's go to that. Says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, we all come across people in our life that are going to disagree with you on certain things, or that may give you a hard time even. But we have to put our trust in the Lord. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, if this is a Psalm of David. So David, he wanted to seek after the Lord. It says here in verse 4. He made a decision at this time that he was going to seek after the Lord, because he wanted to dwell with the Lord. He wanted to talk to the Lord, inquire about him as in his temple. And we know one day the Lord's going to return and he's going to reign on earth. And we want to be able to go and be with the Lord and talk to him. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, David delighted in the Lord so much that he was joyful about it. You know, what a great example to us. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. You know, at times he would cry out to the Lord, you know, are you hearing me, Lord? Are you hearing me? When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, this is wisdom that comes from God, to wait, to have courage. And we need to remember this. We need to have patience. We know David struggled off and on in his life. But at this time, this verse, when this was written down, he was testifying to the Lord's goodness, and he was where he needed to be in his spiritual walk with the Lord. And I believe that the Spirit testified to him that he needed to have patience. Psalm 33:18-22. Behold, the eye of the Lord.